Pork products, overconfidence, and a bit too much right-wing populism? Yep, this must be Bavaria, which goes to the polls next week as Markus Söder seeks re-election with his coalition partner Hubert Aiwanger, who has definitely never been a Nazi ever. Konrad went to the land of Bretzels to see one of Söder's election speeches and speak to the party leaders. Also, what's it like at a Polish wedding? Na zdrowie!
Hello, everyone. It's Megan's MegaCon time again. I'm Megan. I'm here in Berlin with Ex-Berliner Magazine and Konrad Werner. Hello, Konrad.
Hello.
I'm not even going to say how are you. I'm so desperate for a drink.
Okay. We'll move straight to the drinks.
Let's do it. We've got some new MegaCons today.
Oh, brilliant.
In my magical mystery tour trying to get here through all the... I don't know why Neukölln was shut down. Or the M41 just wasn't coming. I went to a Späti, which has quite a good selection. And, well, I got it's Moskovskaya, which is like an actual vodka. But then, of course, it's Russian. I shouldn't be buying Russian things, but I think it might actually be produced in Germany. Anyway,
sure, it's
this and
would...
lemon, because it just sounded nice.
It did sound nice.
I think a vodka lemon is nice. It's just basically a Smirnoff Ice.
Okay. I suppose they don't do...
The 90s are back, I suppose.
Polish or Ukrainian vodkas. In the Späti.
I'd really like, you know, that Zabrowska, whatever it is, the bison grass one. I'd love one of those in a mega, but I've never seen it.
Oh, no. Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, lovely. Very lemony.
Oh, quite sweet. I could go lemonier, but then I always double the lemon and everything. I love lemon.
That's your rule of thumb.
Yeah, just a lemon cake.
Yeah, no, the Zabrowka, because I used to live in Poland, and that's what they... like to drink, and they mix it with apple juice.
I know. We had this conversation before? But I've definitely, I can't remember when I started drinking it with apple juice. Probably when I had Polish friends when I was first teaching here. Sebastian from Poland.
He introduced you to Zabrowka and apple juice.
God, we squirrels, those Polish guys. Oh, they were wild. They would just be innocently drinking beers and then just like rounds of vodka shots on it. And it's not even like a major night out. And you're just like, oh, I suppose I'm having... And they drink it like ice cold. It's fucking delicious.
Yeah.
It's like drinking cleanliness or something. I don't know. It's class.
Well, did I tell you I was once best man at a Polish wedding?
How did you survive?
Well, I don't know. I think I was just young and I had a different liver in those days. But my God, I mean, a Polish wedding... Because there's this tradition where everyone has to toast the bride and groom with a shot of vodka.
Everyone?
Everyone in the
room.
What,
like every
single guest.
That's insane. That's insane. What?
So every table had a bottle of vodka in the middle of it.
Oh, God.
And then intermittently, like every 5 to 10 minutes, someone would go to the bride and groom and then everyone would have to drink a shot of vodka.
That sounds mad. My sister's wedding last year was in Greece and they ended up, there was this liter of raki that came, which just looks like water, and it ended up, I think it was supposed to come to the top table where the bride and groom were, but then it ended up on like the naughty people table. And so they immediately just started playing this game called raki or water, which then spread through all the tables, but fuck, everyone doing a toast.
Yeah, and it would have been like rude and not to drink your vodka. It would have been
but that's like a
violation.
How many people were at the wedding?
Oh, you know, normal weddings.
Like 120? 120 vodka shots? That can't be done.
No,
you can't do 120 vodka shots.
Yeah, probably I'm... probably took over at some point. I mean, you know.
Like one per table or something? Or no, it's literally every 5 minutes someone stops. This sounds class. Yeah.
every 5 or 10 minutes someone stood up, and then everyone had to stand up because they had stood up, and then they would say, to the bride and groom, and then you'd drink it.
And was there like loads of dancing and stuff?
Yeah, yes.
You see, as an Irish person, you're always... And I love a wedding because like they should be absolutely class crack.
And gherkins. I remember there were gherkins on the table.
Oh.
You know, it goes with the vodka.
Oh, yeah. But I feel you're always a bit anxious about going to other nations' weddings because you're like, but I feel like Polish I could.
Oh yeah,
you could go Polish wedding. I know the crack. I bet everyone is like dressed to the nines as well.
Oh no, they take their wedding so seriously yeah.
There. There you go.
Anyway, right. Should we move on to the news?
Oh, if we must.
Going back west across the border,
all
across
right.
The Spree. We should start with the big news of the week was Friedrich Merz being a populist wanker.
My boyfriend's been like, we need to start preparing ourselves for a big slide to the right. Like mentally, we need to prepare. Bring it on. What's Merz done now?
So he was on a TV show. And he said...
Oh, wait, I think I might know what you're talking about now, but yes.
Yeah. It was like a discussion program, and he claimed that people are getting very angry because asylum seekers are getting extra appointments at the dentist's while German citizens next door can't get an appointment. He said they're getting their teeth made new. He said asylum seekers are all sitting in the dentist getting their teeth made new while German people can't get them.
Does he have any evidence for this?
No. And in fact, the Bundeszahnärztekammer, as you probably aware, but the German dentists have a chamber of dentists, like mm-hmm. a guild, I don't know, who represent all dentists in Germany. A man called Christoph Benz, he said this is wrong. And he was just like, this is like, there's no evidence for this at all. And the problem with the fact that some people aren't getting dentist appointments is because they live in rural areas, and a lot of rural areas are low on dentists. But that has nothing to do with asylum seekers getting, you know, like, it's just bollocks. Basically, it's just bollocks.
But again, it's like,
and
this,
he didn't back it up in any way.
It's really fucking worrying.
And the thing about it is he doesn't realize how stupid and dangerous it is, because mm-hmm. this is like, if you lower the debate like this, this is why people vote for AfD. I mean, this is not why people vote for CDU. This is why people vote for AfD, because it's not real. It's just a lie, and it's really dangerous. I mean, this is why there's no, you know, normal Republican Party in America anymore. There's only Donald Trump. It's because they all, you know, it's just. Anyway,
yeah.
You'd
do you think
he'd
like
know
I
better,
think,
but obviously, he
like
doesn't.
You say, this is not going to get more people to vote to the CDU. This normalizes the conversation that the AfD want us to be having, which is like having to refute these ridiculous populists. And the more you hear them, even if they're being refuted, it plays into this really worrying fucking conspiracy theory of the elites against the man. So, of course the top dentist is saying that, but like once you start having this debate, like there's no way to put the crazy back in the box.
I know.
Fuck, man. And like, have whatever caveats you want about Angela Merkel, but can you imagine her saying something like that? The chasm that is opened up between her brand of conservatism, I don't agree with it, whatever. And what the CDU are fucking peddling now is terrifying. And that's how many years? How many have we had? And even if...
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's just really stupid, and it's really dangerous. And it's like the numbers he's coming up with, the 300,000, it does not even apply. And it's just really scary. I do have some better news. Well, it's not news, but it's more of an experience I had.
Right.
So I went to Bavaria.
Yay!
And I went on like a press tour with some colleagues, and we got to talk to the leaders of AUKUS.
Did you go all together on the tour? Did you like meet in Berlin at like the train station and go together like a little trip? Or did you meet in Bavaria?
That would have been better if we all got on a coach.
Yeah.
And we all went down there. No, we all
with
met.
With people counting you, like a little class trip.
And we had to like hold hands. We had to find a partner.
Yeah.
And don't lose them. No, we were treated as adults, and we had to all meet at a certain place. But we did go on a bus. We were like driven around Munich on a bus
once
all
you
together.
Got there.
Yeah, once we got there, we had several different appointments. We did like a mini press conference with the leaders of all the parties in the Bavarian election next week,
mm-hmm.
except for Die Linke didn't show up for some reason. But anyway, the others were all there, including CSU,
SPD, Greens, Hubert Aiwanger of the Freie Wähler, and the AfD guy.
He who shall not be named.
He shall not be named. I mean, they're not really famous outside Bavaria.
You're down here because, was it all press? What?
Yeah, it was like a little press thing. Okay. Like a little organized
And before
talk.
The election, it's coming up. So yeah. Next Sunday, is it? The
Yeah, and before that, on the day before this press tour, I went to an event. It was called Bezirksempfang for the CSU in a town called Ebersberg. It's about half an hour outside Munich.
Okay.
Little town, a CSU event where Markus Söder was appearing and he did a speech.
Good Lord.
And
a big day for
Ebersberg. Yes.
Ebersberg, sorry.
Yeah, but apparently I was talking to his press guy, and he said he goes to every single, during the election campaign, he does visit every single region and part of Germany, mm-hmm. like every single Bezirk, and he does like a speech, and he's, I mean, yeah, he's a very entertaining speech that he gives.
Describe to me, the vibe. I've actually spent quite a lot of time in Bavaria, and it is a strange thing in that for a foreigner, it's always like, I always say, that's what Germany is. When people think about Germany, that's what it is. Like Lederhosen and Oktoberfest and whatever. But Bavaria, although I do think it considers itself very German, it does in many ways set itself apart from, and they joke about it, Freistadt Bayern, we're superior to Germany.
Oh, yeah. They have 100%. Bavarians have a lot of self-confidence.
They do.
They really feel themselves as a separate nation. I mean, they have a real patriotism about being Bavarian. Culturally, they're very, very separate. And they have, it's a bit like Scotland in the UK, you know? Scotland is very much
Yes,
Scottish.
I guess, because people in Scotland do wear the traditional, men will wear traditional dress in a way that they don't.
Yeah.
And rightly so. I am for, I like seeing people in Lederhosen and Tracht. I just would like to separate it out from the right wing. That's what I would like.
Yeah, so they're very self-confident. They're very proud of being Bavarian. It's currently Oktoberfest, so they're even, you see a lot more people in the traditional
high
dress
on the,
around
high
there.
On the hog.
They love
you
their,
see them everywhere.
They love pork
even,
products.
I mean, I am not, I am a big fan. I am not a vegetarian when I'm in Bayern.
No, it's really.
I am not the Neukölln quasi-vegetarian anymore.
And so I was at this event where there's a lot of CSU voters, not only, but mainly CSU voters from the local town. I'd say there's about 200 or 300 people there, huge. And in the big town hall, a lot of the CSU leaders were there. And of course, the star was Markus Söder, who came in. He always does this thing where he comes in from the back of the hall.
Oh, God.
And I've noticed there's actually in all our things that he doesn't appear on the stage. He comes in through the back from the entrance that everyone else came through, and he comes in really, really slowly, and the Umpar band is playing, and he shakes as many people's hands as he can. He loves shaking people's hands. And in fact, all the politicians that we met.
He is just this politician, isn't he?
He was
shaking hands and kissing babies. That's all he fucking does.
Yeah. And he's very he's quite tall, and he's suddenly in the room. You know that you always know that Markus Söder's in the room when he's in the room, you know? And
he does have a slightly Elvis vibe. There's something slightly caricature-y, a later, I don't know.
Yeah.
That kind of Markus Söder is in the...
Yeah, and he loves it, you know? And he just absolutely loves doing these events.
Sorry, it's a bit of... Kreuzberg authenticity for us all.
Going by the wind. So then, and he does and he does this sort of hour-long speech.
Hour-long?
Yeah. None of it written down.
Oh,
he improvises.
God. So I'm sorry. I have to be in a hall. I have to shake Markus Söder's hand. I have to listen to an Umpa band. Then I have to listen to him do an ad hoc. There's nothing I hate worse than people who do not write their speeches. It is so arrogant and appalling.
Really?
Oh, I hate it.
But it's it's a special talent, I think.
No, you write it down and then you learn it by heart. You have to, I don't know, maybe he is an incredibly good orator and it has a opening, a development. It's got a red thread, as the Germans would say, running through that ties it all together. Or is it just him pontificating and playing the crowd for an hour? Because I cannot stand it.
He has certain bits. It's like watching a stand-up comedy show. He has like bits that he does about every single issue, and then he kind of shuffles these issues around, and
he is kind of scripted.
He has some notes.
That's not the same as just making it up as he goes along.
No, he doesn't make it up. He's not like he's not like Fidel Castro talking for 5 hours and just rambling on. No, he's not. He's like
what an absolute fucking baller move. I'm going to speak for 5 hours here, by the way, lads, and you're not going to be able to do a fucking thing about it.
This was about...
I'm in charge.
So he talks about things
Fidel
like...
Fidel fucking Castro.
So they're big...
Oh, God, right. I'm still horrified. I'd still rather 5 hours of Fidel than fucking an hour of Surtur, but let's go.
And he makes a lot of jokes at the expense of Karl Lauterbach in this case. He had made fun of Karl Lauterbach because Karl Lauterbach wants to like restrict sweet advertising, and so did the Green Party and the SPD want to kind of restrict sweet. So he's all about like, oh, the Green Party, they want to legalize cannabis but ban sweets and sausages. You know, that's the general theme. That's the main theme of most Zurdo speeches.
I see.
He makes like jokes at the expense of Karl Lauterbach's appearance.
Lovely.
And then he introduces his cabinet, who are like in front of him on the first row, and he kind of makes jokes about them and about the stuff they're doing. And
this is all just so fucking gross. It's so gross. It's 2023.
I feel like I'm not conveying it very well because he's good at it. You know, he's entertaining.
I'm sure he's absolutely like.
Yeah.
I'm sure that it's very charming. I mean, I've seen this man's Instagram, to be honest, and I'm fucking charmed. But it's also just, it's so cynical. This is not what I guess it is what politics is. I don't think politics is very... I don't think it's working.
But...
I mean, I don't mean democracy is... It, well...
So some things were... the issues that he talked about were, for example, wolves. That's a big issue at the moment in Bavaria, even though they don't have as many wolves as we do in northern Germany. But there's a big thing about wolves going on at the moment.
What about the wolves?
There's too many of them.
They'd like some rights, and they're like, no, you're just a wolf.
They keep killing sheep and cows.
Right.
And it's become a bit of an issue because they're protected, because we're trying to reintroduce them into Germany. And now it's been a bit too successful, and they've started killing a lot of livestock.
Ooh, I do like a wolf.
Yeah. Well.
But yeah, I mean, wolves are going to...
Well, it's become an EU issue now because the EU has brought in a new directive saying that national governments should be allowed to reassess whether wolves should be protected species or not, because apparently it's becoming a bigger problem and the farmers are complaining about it. And Ursula von der Leyen's pony was killed by a wolf.
I'm so sorry. What?
You didn't hear about that?
For Ursula von der Leyen, who I always picture in a pair of jodhpurs with riding boots and a whip.
She has a farm.
Of course she does. And her pony... Oh, no. Pony, but it must have been a very small pony.
I don't know how big the pony was.
Hunting in packs? Do they hunt in packs or are they alone?
I think they're different kinds. Some that are alone and some that are in packs. But anyway,
right,
I don't think that's why.
Surprise, it's been tabled. I mean, you think that. You think that, Conrad. But these are politicians. They're just humans.
Mm.
God only knows.
It was her favourite pony. I mean, you know, she was probably really upset. Anyway.
Yeah, it's not like one of her millions of children. It's just only one of that pony.
Anyway, so I'm losing my red thread here.
Sorry.
Because the point is that Zurdo also brought up the wolves because it's an issue in Bavaria, because they have a lot of rural areas and a lot of rural voters, and so they kind of they think they should have the right to kill a wolf if they need to. Anyway, so that's one of the things he was talking about. He did actually try to emphasize his green credentials and his sort of, I am a climate activist too. You know, he made some kind of crack about Klimakleber people, and then he said like, but I'm a climate activist too, and he said like, you know, we have a lot of renewable energy, whatever. He brought all that up.
I will give him that point. That is at least not stupid populist like.
No, I mean he's not like AFD or anything. I mean he's like, he does bring up, I'm getting to this, but then he does talk about. You know, he brought up the climate crisis in the context of the Zugspitze, which is Germany's highest mountain in the mm-hmm. Alps, southern Bavaria, and he's talking about how there's less and less snow on it. And this is like, but it always has to be in the context of a beautiful Bavarian image.
I mean, that's kind of clever. Like, I'm not going to...
Yeah.
Am I going to start hoping that Markus Söder becomes... If we're going to get a CDU chancellor, am I going to be hoping that he could take over from Merz? Is this the world we're going to be living in?
He does sort of... I mean, I don't think that his climate protection credentials are very good in other diaries, because we know that on wind farms and stuff...
Oh, he doesn't like a wind farm, because that's going to spoil Bavaria.
But he does, like, bring up this issue, and he does talk about it, and he criticises other parties that are climate deniers, you know?
Yeah.
And in fact, and this is where I promised you some good news, In the whole speech, there was one point in the whole speech where he got the biggest round of applause in the room. And this is like mainly older people, CSU
people
voters.
Who've willingly subjected themselves to an Oompa Band and an R of Söder.
Yeah, and they've all got their...
They're not being paid
Brezels,
for it like you.
And they've got their... Yeah, they've got their... You know, those
they've
like...
They've got their what?
Brezels. They've
oh,
got
Brezel. Is there like a beer tent? Has everyone got like a mass?
No, it wasn't like an Oktoberfest thing. It was more like that happened afterwards. There were people who were drinking afterwards, but it was during. But there were like
beer in Bavaria.
There were young
top notch as well.
Oh yeah, I know. There were but there were like young catering staff bringing around schmaltz and all
That's
that kind
nice.
Of stuff. You know,
some obat stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. The biggest round of applause he got in the whole speech was when he condemned the AfD. And he said, we will never have a coalition with them. This is like, they are, not only are they Nazis, but they are, he described them as like Putin allies. And if we do what the AfD did, then Putin will start becoming even more powerful. This is how he framed it. And he said that was the kind of the biggest part of it. And I think that, and I talked to some of the voters there afterwards, some of the CSU members and voters, and they were like, that was the bit they also responded to, because they also are afraid of the AfD. They see the AfD as a real threat to Germany and a threat to democracy. And one of the person I spoke to called them rat catchers, you know, as a Pied Piper of Hamelin type thing. And I did feel that, and that was even amongst like, you know, conservative voters who I found that quite heartening, is what I want to say.
I will take that small silver lining. I mean, I wish that Markus Söder wasn't in coalition with someone who's literally...
Well.
...been accused of... Well, sorry, not been accused.
Is
a Nazi in terms of, like, thinking it's okay to make kind of awful jokes like that and then not apologise even if it was 30 years ago or whatever it was.
Yeah, you're referring to Hubert Aiwanger.
I am referring to Hubert Aiwanger.
Of the Freie Wähler.
Who are pretty, I mean, not necessarily undemocratic, but like pretty rough in their Wahlprogramm. But yes, I mean, fine. I'm happy that conservative voters in Bayern are worried about the threat to democracy posed by the far right. Cool.
And then I did talk to Hubert Aiwanger briefly. Well, I asked him a question.
So this was then, that was the night before. You go to have your party with Söder.
Yeah. And then we did the bus trip around Munich and talked to different people.
So you got bussed around to their different like headquarters or different like hotel suites, or this is so exciting.
So the first one was the CSU in the morning. It was Martin Huber, the general secretary, mm-hmm. who received us at CSU headquarters in Munich.
What's that like? What's the vibe in there?
Well, it's a big office building, and there were free Brezels and
I
water
do like
and coffee.
Free stuff. As a fucking someone who works in the public sector, I am. Anytime I'm on a professional jaunt and I get anything free, I'm delighted with myself.
Well, I think one thing you really notice in Bavaria, that I think one reason why they're so self-confident is the place is pretty affluent.
Yeah.
There are, like, people are doing well in Bavaria, and especially CSU people are doing well.
Yes. Yes, it's definitely... I have actually never been to Munich. I've been to...
It's so clean. Everyone says it's so clean.
Other cities, but I would imagine it is the... The furthest away within the same country that you could get from where I live in Berlin.
Oh, which yeah. It's just...
I love it to the end of days, but it is filthy, particularly at the moment. I don't...
So, yeah, Bavaria is just really... I mean, Munich is just really clean. The buses are really good. The trains work really well. Everyone... It's just nice there. Like, the U-Bahn smells nice.
Jesus Christ.
And
let's move to Munich. And,
so where was I? Hubert Aiwanger. So I met Hubert Aiwanger briefly in this context of this. And he also came in and shook everyone's hand. He was odd to talk to because he started out with the press conference. He kind of talked like slightly over the head of everyone. You know when you're talking to someone and they're looking like about a foot over your head?
Mm.
It was like that for the first 10 minutes, but then he kind of relaxed a little bit, I think. And
wow.
His assistant said at the beginning that he would refuse to answer any questions about his school days, so we weren't allowed to ask about that, but was prepared to answer any other question because he was, you know, we talked about it on the last show, but this whole thing with this Auschwitz flyer that he probably wrote, and this is something that's not really reported very much because this whole thing with his brother came out later. But at the time when he was punished for it as a pupil in the high school, mm-hmm. every teacher that he worked with believed that he wrote it. Like, he never, like, the whole thing with the brother has only emerged in the last, since it was being published, since it came out and has become a big scandal. But there's still, you know, there's no absolute proof, and he still denies it, and he denies being a right-wing extremist as a child, and he complains about these things. And I was in a room of like 10 or 15 journalists, and it wasn't really enough to, like, everyone got to ask one question basically. So as I was like, oh, what shall I ask? What shall I do with my question? I've got one question.
Oh gosh.
And so what I ended up asking was, some people accuse you of employing right-wing populist rhetoric. What do you say to that? You know? And he went on quite a long answer of about 3 minutes describing Bavarian beer tent culture, political beer tent culture, and how it was naturally more...
Is this because you were with a whole load of like foreign journalists or something? Like, how does he think he gets away with... It's not like every political party just walks into a beer tent and they're like, oh, well, it's Oktoberfest. The Greens are just well, you know, what's the deal with immigrants? Why do they need dentists so much? No, that doesn't happen, you fucking nutbag.
So what he ended up, he was trying to explain that, you know, is, I mean, it's like the locker room talk stuff. And he said, I can't go into a beer tent and start giving a sermon like I'm a nun or something. You know, that was his sort of answer to that. But he spent a long time describing this, and he kind of got into it. You can see that the thing about the Zürcher Aiwanger axis, let's call it an axis, is problematic. Because what it is that what is weird is that Zürcher, he thinks of himself as the big populist. You know, he's like the Boris Johnson. But he's got someone to the right of him now who's even more and a slightly nastier populist who he can't get rid of because he's scared of him and who he says he wants to continue in a coalition with.
Why is he scared of him? Because you think he's going to take votes from him?
Or? Yeah, yeah. He thinks he's going to lose votes to Aiwanger. And so, and that's why Zürcher and Merz, who we were talking about before, are all like bashing the Green Party whenever they can, because they're more worried about the threat from the far right than they are worried about from the left. Even though the Green Party, we can talk about in a minute, are like the same in the polls. In the polls of Bavaria, the Green Party and the Freie Wähler, Hubert Aiwanger's party, are in the same. They're about like 15 to 16%. They're vying for second place together with the CSU up over 30%, like 32 or 33 or something. Oof. So yeah, but he's already ruled out, which was maybe technically, but Söder has already ruled out doing a coalition with the Greens because he's so scared of being branded as a Green now, because he feels like the political climate is so against green policies that he said he's he wants to continue with the Freie Wähler, even though this Hubert Aiwanger is much more of a threat to him anyway. But yeah, it's all a bit, I guess that bit is quite dark.
What
and
kind
depressing.
Of vibe did you get from Aiwanger? Was he like, he seems anxious and weird?
Well, the beginning was weird because he had this thing where he was like, you know, he was just like looking slightly over everyone's head when he was talking to them. After a while, he's also like, he knows how to be charming. He knows how to talk, okay. And he knows how to make jokes and you know, and all this other stuff. I mean, but he's just not. He was almost certainly a Nazi in his youth, and if you ask me, although he denies it, and I think that he doesn't understand. He doesn't understand how serious the allegations against him are and why it is important for Germany, you know? So,
which is a really shocking thing to see in someone. Like, fair enough, like, at 17, you don't get it. But when you're, like, a grown-ass human. But then there haven't been any consequences for him, so why should... Like, there weren't even... Well, he should have been kicked out of school. I was reading a little bit about where this came from, and this like teacher was just like, I don't want to hear this person talk anymore. And that must be like, I can't imagine what
anyway. Would you like to hear about the Green Party?
Sure. In Bavaria or in the rest of the world?
In Bavaria.
Oh, okay.
So the they did very, very well in the last election in Bavaria. Mm-hmm. They got nearly 18%.
Yeah, that's quite a lot, I would imagine, in Bavaria.
Yeah, it was like double what they've ever had before.
Mm.
And there were parts of Munich, especially the urban centres, that were voted, like, they were the majority, the biggest party. Because they kind of came into 2018 with a lot of confidence, a big platform. Mm-hmm. And now they've had to defend a lot of Robert Habeck's, you know, plans about the heating law, and they've lost a lot of votes. They lost a lot of support. They're on about 14% now, but that is still pretty good for the Greens, considering the political climate, and considering that they're literally getting a lot of they are getting abused now. There's a thing. There seem to be organized Telegram groups of activists who are following around Green Party speeches, campaign events, and disrupting them, heckling them. Wow. And there was the low point was in Neu-Ulm a couple of weeks ago, where this candidate that I spoke to called Katharina Schulze got a rock thrown at her.
That's not nice.
No. And the guy was arrested on the scene, and he was wearing like an anti, you know, he was like a corona denier type. He had like a big sign. And he was under the influence of alcohol as well, according to state prosecutors. Okay. So he was arrested at the scene, and she was very much at pains to say this is an isolated incident, and I think it's part of an organized thing, and it's not an expression, you know, like, because it's being reported as like we're getting our campaign offices vandalized and everything. It's being reported as like a spontaneous uprising from the people or something against the Greens, but it's not that. It probably is like there are kind of like crazy people out there, and they're being
manipulated by far right conspiracy bullshit. It's like,
and this is stuff makes the news, you know, and then that's kind of part of the reason why people like Marco Zurdo are,
and
like,
then people start being like, well, why are the Greens so unpopular? And I'm like, well, it's got fuck all to do with the Greens and everything to do with people that are like, have like lower information or you know, for whatever reason, being sucked into conspiracies that tell them that like corona was fake, Russia's not that bad, and all kind of liberal politicians are somehow conspiring against them.
Yeah. So they apparently see it as a threat
How is your Mega Can?
How's it going to say? Oh, it's great. I finished
my God,
it already.
It's vegan. Yay!
Aren't they all vegan? Why would
Surely.
They not be?
I don't know why they wouldn't be, but I don't know if they the rest of them say on it. I'm really enjoying this.
I enjoy it too, yeah. Oh,
it's
no.
lemony. I'm quite drunk, so that's good.
Yeah, well, it's done the first duty of the Mega Can.
Numb us all. I know. I think this is the first podcast we've done where it's gone dark as we've been recording. And I'm just like,
oh, yeah.
Maybe we could all just lie back. Stop talking about the news. Just have a little sleep.
Yeah.
What were you talking about? Christina Schulze?
Katharina Schulze,
Katharina Schulze.
Green Party leading candidate.
And what was she saying?
Oh, yeah. This is what I was going to say. What was funny about her was that she was extremely upbeat and positive and confident, you know?
Well, she's Bavarian, isn't it?
Probably, they all that's are. What it is. That's probably what it is.
They're having rocks thrown at them. Their party's being dragged through the mud. She's still like, yeah. You know what? Life is still pretty good. Have a Brezel.
I know. And her co-lead candidate is called Ludwig Hartmann.
Mm-hmm.
I love the name Ludwig, by the way, because it's just so Bavarian. You know? It's like King
Ludwig. Is that very Bavarian? It's just German. It just reads as German to me, I guess.
It just reminds me of King Ludwig. The second, the mad King Ludwig. Anyway, but the point is, he was like, a young, dynamic guy, and he was like, he thinks that Zurdo is going to change his mind after the election. They were like trying to convince us. All us journalists were sitting there going, nah, like, Zurdo obviously hates you.
Oh,
and
wow.
You're having a really bad time.
Oh,
he was
no.
like, he was going like, no, you don't understand. After
they're
the election,
like,
he'll
like
change his mind.
The woman who's just like, no, he just... He doesn't really know what he wants. He's just confused. And I think when he has like a moment, he's going to realize, like, nah, mate, he's going to continue to fuck neo-Nazis, basically, before he shacks up with you. Let it go. That is my read on that situation.
You read that political situation perfectly.
He's going to fuck the very worst. Anyone but you. Literally anyone.
Yeah, so basically the Greens were like trying to convince us that Zurdo is going to change his mind.
That's a wild thing for them to be doing. I love it.
And we were looking, nah, probably not.
Any party they go to is like, no, he's really actually, I think he loves me.
Yeah, he just keeps saying he hates us.
Yeah, I know him. I know deep down he's a good guy and he's going to see the end and the light in the end. Oh, God, no. But that's good that they're still upbeat.
Yeah, they were.
It'd be great if we had a green. What does it have? A stupid name? A green black? A black green?
It's just Schwarz Green, yeah. I mean, there's no flag unless you add the
but
FDP.
But it doesn't have to be a flag. You also have traffic light. You have any old random crap.
Well, what's black and green?
Don't know.
A burnt leaf.
Yeah. I'm only thinking
leaf.
Of those because I've been thinking of tapas today, like those little charred green peppers.
Yeah,
a pimento de padron.
It's the charred pepper coalition for Bavaria is what we want.
Bring it on. Yes. I would fucking love that. And they could just like, look, no, it's going to be fine, Marcus, because we're going to have loads of windmills, but they're going to be covered in leather to about halfway up. Yeah. We'll paint them blue and white, like that lovely pale blue and white.
Yeah. Well, that's probably what's going to happen. So, yeah, I think that is all the news.
Is that it?
I mean, I can't think of anything else to talk about, to be honest.
How was the rest of your trip in Bayern? Did you have fun?
Well, I got a goodie bag.
You did?
Which I gave to you.
You have? What? It's the best thing ever.
Do you want to describe your goodie bag?
Oh, my God. So you said to me, if... I could have envisaged, like, you know, it's like a fever dream has come up with Marcus Söder merch. There's like, I might actually, we can put the picture of this in there.
Yeah, because it's hard to describe.
Up with the episode.
It's hard to do justice to.
Part of it is like a colouring book where Söder has kind of, he's going through the different sections of Bayern, Unterfranken, Oberfranken. And it's like a Where's Wally type thing. Like, he's in all the pictures.
Yeah.
Except that he's misunderstood the concept of Where's Wally, because he is about, it gets progressively larger. He's about 1.5 times the size of everybody else in some pictures, and then it gets up to,
yeah,
like,
he's a tiny man with a massive head.
Yeah.
Like, his body is the same size as his head.
Yeah, and sometimes there's more than one of him in the picture.
And you can colour it in.
You absolutely can. Yeah. That was one beautiful thing that is in here. I'm so happy I've got this. And then there's his cookbook.
Yeah.
So Söder ist. So hashtag.
You'll have to explain the context of the cookbook.
So whoever is running Söder's Instagram is an absolute fucking genius and has come up with the very good hashtag Söder ist, Söder eats. And so this is now him collaborating with a 2-star chef to come up with 25 recipes.
Yeah. His favorite dinners.
Yeah. But it's all like Bavarian stuff. You're right. Currywurst deluxe. Mm. Currywurst is fucking Kreuzberg, mate. Fucking step back.
Mm. Back off.
If not Kreuzberg, definitely Berlin. It's very disputed.
Yeah.
That's a little reference to Markus Söder's party leader there. Or not party leader, but like his sister party leader saying that Kreuzberg is not Germany. And then also brilliantly, I've got like a tiny little stone cup. What are these called in German? Is it a Stein?
A Stein, yeah. Yeah. It's a beer mug.
A beer krug.
Yeah.
And it's in like a ceramic-y thing, and that's from Thomas Huber, who has not identified himself as CSU on the little krug, but he is CSU.
Yeah. Local politician.
I love
it. And you could put, I don't know, you could put a little Baileys in there or something.
I'm going to just pour the rest of my mega can in here.
Okay.
Oh, there's not much. I meant to do this earlier. I'm drunk now.
Yeah.
This is what a Stein is, because Americans and actually English speakers in general always think the liter cups, glasses are called Steins. That's like an American thing, but that's a miss. It's called a Maß. That's a Maß. And these are the Steins.
Yeah, well, Maß just means a liter of beer, isn't it? Ein Maß.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that, yeah, you're right. You can't call a glass a Stein, because obviously Stein means stone. It has to be made of
Americans else. Don't know this. I think we forget what English native speakers who have never learned another language are like. It is.
Tell you what, I saw a lot of American tourists while I was in Munich.
Mm.
And
did you go to Oktoberfest?
No, I didn't bother. I don't like it there. I've been there once and it's not fun.
Oh, I would like it, probably.
It's just like
I really want to wear a dirndl.
Have you ever seen the videos on YouTube of people trying to get a table when they open the tent?
Aren't you supposed to book a table?
No, well, you can book a tables, but you can also get up at 6 in the morning and stand outside and then rush to the free tables. And if you've ever watched those YouTube, I mean, it's like human dignity reaches new lows on these videos, because the people are all in their leather trousers dashing for this table, and then they throw themselves on there. They dive, their whole body dives onto the table and they cover it
like a seal. All this stuff about Bavaria, keep it all. But maybe let's have like some windmills as well. We're going to get rid of the AFD, put Aiwanger back in his place and be like, no, we're going to just be cool. Because there's a lot about Bavaria to love, I think.
Yeah.
I mean,
if we lived in Bavaria, we probably would be one of those people queuing up in the morning trying to get a table.
I mean, I'm tempted to go and do it now. It sounds class crack.
Then you run and you dive like a seal on top of the table.
Sounds class.
And then that's your table for the rest of the day. And then you and your friends have to stay at that table, because as soon as you leave, someone else will come. So all you can do is sit at that table and drink for the whole day. And that is Oktoberfest.
Describing this like it's not a great thing. I don't understand it. Like, I really, like, you have to just sit there for the whole day with your friends and drink. I'm like, why is your tone? Like, do I need to talk to you about, like, tone?
I'm sorry. Like, I just thought, I mean, yeah, it's a sight to behold, as what I'm saying, when you know, because people get up very early to do this.
It sounds wonderful. I'm into it.
And so that's all the news from Bavaria this week.
Well,
I think I've summed it up.
Thank you.
Perfectly.
I'm into it. Thanks. I'm glad that you got to go. And let's see what happens in the election.
Yeah, we'll maybe the next time we meet, we will know who is the next government of if the Greens are right after all, and Zoda changed his mind.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Bye, everybody. Have a good one. Stay safe.
You too. Oh, wait. Should we Should we plug the Podfest?
Yes.
Because we've got a Podfest.
I was just thinking about that.
Because this is our last one before the Podfest, isn't it?
Is it? Well, no, not if Bavaria's going to have an election. We should probably do one after that. But anyway, yes, come to the podcast, Podfest. Berlin Podfest. You do it. I'm drunk.
15th of October. We will be doing a live podcast at the Brilliant Podfest in the Noisy Rooms in Berlin. And also, I'll be showing my film before, and we'll have a little panel discussion afterwards with people from various groups, friends of ours and other...
Friends of ours and the planet.
And experts.
I would say things, experts, yeah. There'll also be mega cans,
and
presumably.
That'll be really good, yeah.
Please God, we have to have megas, yeah.
Yeah, don't worry. I think that's part of the show. I mean, we can't
call
ourselves.
Yeah, we've done it before, and I was like, "Are we allowed?" And we were just like, "Just bring them. Just ask for forgiveness, not permission."
We can't. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
People know what they're getting into. All right, everyone. I can heartily recommend if you, it's called Misk Lemon, Moskovskaya.
Yeah, they're doing that modern thing of leaving out vowels.
Misked.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Have fun.
Thanks very much for the can.
Ooh, Zitronen's after Zitronen. Nice. Bye.
Bye.
I don't know why I'm kissing everyone like a mum hanging up the phone.